local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
This holiday at T-Mobile, I'm joined by a special co-anchor.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Snoop, D-O-double-G.
Snoop, let's talk about T-Mobile.
Okay, cool.
This holiday, get four lines for $25 a line, plus four iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence and the all-new camera control on us.
Let's get cracking, like a breakfast egg.
You can use those eggs to make some eggnog, Snoop.
Respect.
And people do love T-Mobile, where you can save on every plan versus the other big guys.
You know, y'all could take some of those savings and buy some Snoop merchandise.
Always a great stocking stuffer, Snoop.
We up out of here.
Hold your horses, Snoop D-O-double-G. Let's remind people one more time.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get four iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence on us. Plus four lines for $25. Now drop that, Jake.
With 24 monthly bill credits for eligible trade-ins and four new lines with autopay. Well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees and $35 per line connection charge. Cancel entire account before receiving 24 bill credits and credit stop and balance on required finance agreements due. $829.99 credits end if you pay off device early. See how you can save on wireless and streaming versus the other big guys at T-Mobile.com/switch. Apple Intelligence available now.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers continuing a push to House Ethics Committee to release the report on Matt Gaetz, stemming from its investigation into sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. Gaetz has been tapped to be President-elect Trump's attorney general and faces an uphill battle for confirmation. ABC's Selena Wang says key Trump ally and transition team member Elon Musk now speaking out on social media in support of Gaetz.
He said, quote, Matt Gaetz has three critical assets that are needed for the AG role, a big brain, a spine of steel, and an axe to grind. Gaetz will be our hammer of justice.
The president-elect traveling with Musk today to Texas, where he's expected to view a SpaceX test launch of the Starship rocket. In Rio, President Biden wraps up his G20 summit, his final one, holding meetings with Brazil's leader today and focusing on ways to combat climate crisis. Rain and snow in the forecast for parts of the Northeast this week, the region dealing with drought conditions and brush fires. This is ABC News. The Texas State Board of Education hearing more testimony about a proposal which would incorporate Bible lessons into public school curriculum.
The arguments for and against the idea are not necessarily new.
Not only is learning about common stories and phrases from the Bible important in a student's understanding of history, but it is the First Amendment right to have access to this information.
How can we teach religion in public schools? Whose religion are we talking about?
After hearing from more than 150 witnesses for and against the plan, the State Board of Education could vote on it as early as today. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
In California, the child in Alameda County has been treated and recovering at home after contracting bird flu. There was no known contact with an infected animal, but officials are investigating a possible exposure to wild birds. Officials have not found any evidence of human-to-human transmission. And stress, the risk to the public remains low. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Oh, no. My phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Liberal judges on the Wisconsin Supreme Court seem skeptical of a challenge by state Senate Republicans over Elections Administrator Megan Wolf's continued employment. Justice Jill Karofsky says Republicans won a case that allows for Wolf to stay in place.
Six of the seven of us sat in this courtroom 2 years ago when your client insisted that Fred Prehn should be able to retain his position on the DNR board even though his six-year term had expired. And your client won.
The six-member Wisconsin Elections Commission declined sending a recommendation for a new administrator a year and a half ago when Senate Republicans wanted to remove Wolf from the post. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has conceded his loss to Democrat Tammy Baldwin. In a statement posted to X on Monday, Hovde continued to question the integrity of election results from Milwaukee.
Without a detailed review of all the ballots and their legitimacy, which will be difficult to obtain in the courts, a request for a recount would serve no purpose because you will just be recounting the same ballots regardless of their integrity.
Hovde previously claimed to be shocked by Milwaukee's reporting of its absentee ballot results early Wednesday morning, although the city's central count location has routinely announced absentee ballots all at once. Clerks around Wisconsin are prohibited from processing absentee ballots until Election Day. A New Berlin man reported missing last week was found dead in the Chicago area. Ben Oberto's wife last heard from him Wednesday night when he told her he'd be home after a work trip in northeast Illinois. Friday afternoon, Illinois State Police located Oberto's overturned vehicle along an interstate near O'Hare International Airport. Oberto, who died at the scene, leaves behind his wife and two kids. The crash is under investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 47.
Mid-morning buying interest faded in the grain markets, with soy futures leading the way to the downside and wheat futures holding on to just modest gains. Corn was pulled slightly lower by the drop in beans. Lean hog futures gave up early gains, while the cattle complex surged to the upside.
Live, enriched with delicious surging beef via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. I almost said the feeder cattle continued the stampede, and then I thought, no, that's too easy.
Huh?
I just figured that was too easy. I didn't want to do that.
Little on the nose, as they say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Impressive moves that we're seeing in this cattle complex. There's no question about it. Just the upside momentum is there, but when it gets as aggressive as it has been for the past three sessions, you start to wonder just how much longer can this last. We'll discuss that a little bit more at the end of the show. We got Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag, over in Elgin, Nebraska, on the show today. We'll talk about how that crop finished up over there in eastern Nebraska and which directions it's going. How is that crop, both corn and soybean crops, being used up over there this year?
So. Good.
How you doing? Everything okay?
Well, the neighbor's out in the driveway right now fixing his fence.
Yeah?
And he was going to come up a little short, and I yelled over, "Hey, you want to borrow my board stretcher?" And he said, "Yeah, maybe later." I don't think he knows what I was talking about.
I don't think he knows either.
town folk.
Oh my goodness. That's good stuff. We got Matt coming up here in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and get to the markets.
Well, Chip, geopolitical tensions and the escalation of the war in Ukraine supported wheat prices, although wheat did close well below session highs. Price pressure was credited to improvement in USDA's hard red winter wheat crop condition ratings and reports that, despite the ongoing war with Russia, Ukrainian farmers could find a way to increase winter wheat production by more than 10% from a year ago to a potential 25 million metric tons. Wheat futures still have upside momentum, but December SRW futures ran into resistance at the late October lows near 558. December HRW wheat futures 3 cents higher, 558 1/4. December spring soft red wheat up 2 1/2 cents to 549 3/4. Chip, what does your screen say there on the spring wheats? Anything at all?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just hit the refresh on it here. It's the last trade, 586 3/4 up 1 3/4.
All right, very good. You betcha. Well, we provided spillover support for the corn market, but that support fell apart after markets posted a mid-morning high. Without fresh export news, enthusiasm for higher prices has drained from the market, even with professional trading funds still on the long side of the market. The lack of a supply-side scare from South America also allowed corn prices to ease to the downside. December corn futures spiked resistance at 430 and then fell back to close near session lows. December corn futures were 2 cents lower, 427 1/4. March corn down 2 cents, 437 3/4. July corn futures closed at 448 1/2. That's down a penny and 1/2, Chip.
It kind of feels like this D's corn is setting up for a period of trade right around that 430 level.
Well, Chip, the lack of a crop scare out of South America weighed more heavily on the soy complex than it did on corn futures. Pro Farmer Crop Consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisory added 1 million metric tons to his Brazilian bean crop estimate to reflect quick planting progress the past 3 weeks. That puts the Brazilian bean crop at 166 million metric tons. Brazil's largest soybean crush association says the country will grow 167.7 million tons of beans this year. January soybeans opened near session highs and spiked resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to close low range. January beans 11 1/4 cents lower, 998 1/2. March beans down 10 1/2 to 1008 1/2. July beans closed at 1033 1/2, down 9 1/4 cents. Chip,
no help from the product markets today either. December soybean meal down $1.70 to 88.60, and December soybean oil down 68 points to 44.84.
Well, December cotton today was 27 points higher at 66.89. On your livestocks, heavyweight choice graded boxed beef values surged another $1.23 this morning on good movement of 93 loads. That helped raise expectations of steady cash trade. November fat cattle filled the November 8 downside price gap and closed near session highs. The rally in feeder cattle futures stayed red hot. Jan feeders have erased the price slide since the end of July and have rallied more than $29 from the September 9th low. December fat cattle today up $2.47 1/2 cents to 186.57 1/2. February futures up 202 1/2 to 188 even. And January feeder futures $2.50 higher to 252. And on the snout side, December lean hogs posted a high range open and a low range close and traded on both sides of $80 for a fourth consecutive session. December hogs today 47 1/2 cents lower at 79.55. The February contract down 40 cents, 82.87 1/2. Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net, joins us right now. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing real fine. Well, you know what? The markets felt good in mid-morning. Then the support just kind of drained away. Beans seem to be struggling the most in here, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It just seems like beans are having a hard time building any sort of momentum whatsoever. You know, this corn market.
I'm afraid that we lost him.
I thought
it looks like it, but he's still there.
He's still there? Are you still there, Matt? Can you hear me?
195 talked about. I think both you and I would have been a little perplexed, but, you know, you come in here today, back off just a little bit. Maybe we do stay around 430, Chip, but at the same time, you're getting into option expiration. I think these spreads could get a little wonky, you know, as you get closer to delivery.
Okay, that was on corn. You broke up some. when you were giving us your take on what's happening in the soy complex. Give me that again.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes down to beans, it's just you've got so many beans out there. It's tough, you know. Whenever you look at South America, there's no major weather issue. If you're asking for a rally, you got to be kind of praying for Argentina to stay warm and dry, but they are planting. It's kind of what you want this time of year, but La Nina would suggest maybe there could be a weather story later. So you're going to need a weather story, though, Chip, because there's so many beans planted. I mean, gosh, there's a plethora of beans in the U.S., plethora of beans in the world.
Yeah, there is. It's going to take a little time to work through those supplies. Real quick, just give me your take on what's happening in cattle. It's an impressive trade so far this week.
Super impressive trade. You know, I don't think cattle on feed is expected to be super friendly, but some of these cash prices have...
Some of these cash prices have... And we lost him again. Well, that was Matt Bennett.
He is as chaste as he is wise. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That feeder cattle cash market.
Get myself protected.
Yep. There he is. All right. We got to hop. Thank you, Matt. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Coming up next, Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag, right here on AgriTalk.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance in your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or greatplainsag.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
The possibility of
life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon for AgriTalk. Let's go out to Northeast Nebraska and get the conversation started with Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag, Elgin, Nebraska. Luke, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen, doing well. Thanks for having me on. We just had a rain event sweep across most of Nebraska, Kansas here the last 24, 48 hours. So I think everybody's feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was not an insignificant rain as I watched it roll across there and hung around for a little bit, didn't it?
Chip, there is no rain that is insignificant in the Western Corn Belt. We'll take all of it. It was well received. It was an all day type event. So, really excellent moisture in that system and, has the recharge started. We'll need to get things filled back up. It was a tough finish to the end of the growing season out west.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Beans seem to take the end of the growing season worse than corn out your way. Is that fair to say?
I would agree with that, although still probably surprised with the lack of moisture we did receive late, how well some of the non-irrigated soybeans did perform. The one thing about a dry finish to the year is we really kept plant disease low in the soybeans. We typically fight, you know, some sudden death and some white mold, especially in your irrigated acres. And the very dry air the last half of the growing season was probably beneficial to the soybeans. So maybe what we lacked in moisture, we kind of kept those yield hits, you know, from a high disease type year away from us this year. So net-net, soybean production up in Nebraska, of course, with the better moisture profile coming into the year. And probably one of our best soybean production years we've had, you know, out of the last several.
Sounds to me like you're talking that Nebraska bean yield up a little bit there, Luke. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've felt that way since we've seen, you know, USDA state level estimates late summer, you know, in the upper 50s, and it just felt like we were tracking better than that. And once we saw combines roll across the fields and just looking at, you know, what we've dumped at the elevators and just what producers mm-hmm. have said, it just feels like the USDA is just a little bit light on the Nebraska number. Okay. You know, they're in the upper 50s, and I think Nebraska is probably closer to a 61. They're 59 today, so maybe a couple bushels light on Nebraska.
Wow. Okay. All right. What about corn? You kind of feel the same way or no?
Corn was really variable yield-wise in Nebraska. I made the comment about disease in the soybeans kind of being better this year just with the dry finish. Was not that way in the corn. This is probably one of the heavier disease years we've had. I think just with a lot of moisture early, caused a lot of stress early in the growing season. So the big talking point this fall with producers was that fungicide paid in a really big way, and it really showed up if you didn't use it. So we had a lot of variability in corn yields overall, you know, things certainly much better with the non-irrigated acres performing well compared to the last several years. I don't think we quite have a record corn production number in Nebraska. It's a good crop, but USDA has us at a 194 today. Maybe that's a bushel high, bushel or two high, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that we're talking fine tuning at that point. But going from a 59 to a 61 in beans would be a little bit more than fine tuning, just my take. So yeah, maybe a little bit of work to do there. What about the moisture in the crop? I mean, we heard it from Ohio, and I would assume out to Nebraska, that corn and soybeans came out of the field exceptionally dry.
Very much the case here, yes. You know, just dry, arid air all through August and September, really with no reprieve with moisture, and just the humidity levels were very low. So, yeah, we had really dry receipts here at the elevator. And just looking at data for us, you know, going back a couple of years, I mean, this is the driest crop that we've dumped in the records that I'm seeing. So, I mean, you're talking like a 2-point difference in corn just compared to last year, and maybe not quite that much in beans. So it's pretty significant, you know, when you see the average inbound moisture that low across the system. So it was an easy crop to put away. If we would have had, you know, a crop that was wetter, especially with some of the performance issues that we saw with the railroads, the export program not being that robust, it would have been a challenge to get this crop put away this year. And that's what we were anticipating all through the summer and last half of summer. And I think the drier crop made it a lot simpler to get the crop put away this year.
Yeah, sped things up there, no doubt. Does that lower moisture, does that pull down yield? I mean, you get paid on weight, water is weight. Seems like it should be registered as less volume per acre.
Well, certainly less weight per acre that the producer is, you know, able to capture and get paid for. You know, if you're allowed to be allowed to deliver 15 moisture corn, you know, into the marketplace and you're delivering 12 moisture corn, you know, you're missing out on over 3% if you do the shrink factors of weight that you'd otherwise be paid for. So the producer is certainly being impacted. Now, the question I've asked different people across the industry, how does a bushel of 12 moisture corn impact a feed ration? Or how does a 12% moisture bushel of corn impact the ethanol yield? Same conversation for, you know, soybeans at 9% compared to 11 going through a soybean processing plant. So I think at a processing level, what I've heard is they actually like the drier bushels. They're paying for less water as it comes through those facilities. So as far as an energy content in those bushels, I don't know. That's my big question is does it really change things in terms of consumption? No doubt the producer's being paid less, but it's water weight that they've lost. And how impactful is it to our national production? I don't know that it's large enough to impact the numbers or the balance sheet.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to pay attention on the usage side there for sure. But, you know, dry matter and energy and everything, it will be interesting to see how it is all impacted and plays a role in here. You mentioned some rail issue. What was going on with the rail?
We had the embargo, Mexican embargo going on. At Eagle Pass. And so rail freight really wasn't moving that well. You know, and the export program wasn't particularly robust either. And so what we saw typically, you know, in the Western Corn Belt, we don't have the river system, like we do out in the Eastern Corn Belt. And so a lot of your export book, you know, necessitates that we load that on rail and it gets moved to the Pacific Northwest or, you know, the Center Gulf, U.S. Gulf, or directly into Mexico. And that those programs just weren't real robust this year. And so we saw a lot of soybeans backed up into corn space this year. So it really required the elevator system to get a little bit creative with, you know, trying to tuck that crop away. We saw a lot of grain on the ground where typically it would have been loaded on shuttles and shipped out of here. So the export program out of the Western Corn Belt this year was certainly less than what we are accustomed to.
Okay, has there been much improvement on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the system has, you know, we saw some export business come in. We've seen the flash sale type numbers. Sometimes you get logistics to loosen up and your freight values fall, and it makes puts you in a position to get those beans off the ground or get them out of corn space and get those things shipped. So situation has improved, just as the export sales in China has been a more active buyer of beans here the last month.
Yeah. Yep. What did it all do to the basis trade there in eastern Nebraska?
I would say basis was generally supportive during harvest, and I think you see that in years where we have pretty good carries, you know, in your future spreads. If you're an elevator or commercial, you know, if you have space, you want to fill it in a carry market. And so generally the marketplace was pretty firm trying to make sure that was happening. We also had a new crush plant, you know, in northeast Nebraska that opened up this year. And that's just a new dynamic for everybody to kind of settle in and get used to how that's going to operate. So it was generally a pretty competitive marketplace on the basis side, even though, you know, rail freight was not performing well at all.
Gotcha.
And it's continued to trek higher here as we've gotten out of harvest.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I want to talk more about that new crush facility. I want to talk more about the domestic corn demand, specifically ethanol, corn for ethanol demand. Let's talk balance sheets. What is some of the changes that we might see between, you know, after we got the updates in November? We're talking with Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag, right here on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 3 cents higher at 558 and a quarter. December SRW wheat up 2.5 cents to 549 and three quarters. December corn futures were 2 cents lower at 427 and a quarter. March corn down 2 cents, 437 and three quarters. January soybean futures were 11 and one quarter cents lower at 998 and one half. March beans down 10 and a half to 1008 and one half. December cotton today was 27 points higher at 6689. On your livestock, December fat cattle up $2.47 and one half to 186.57 and a half. January feeders $2.50 higher to 252. And December lean hog futures 47 and one half cents lower at $79.55. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Wake up. You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 47.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag in Elgin, Nebraska. Luke, you mentioned that new crush facility there in the area. How many beans is that place going to take?
I believe that's a 35 million bushel crush plant per year.
All right.
You know, so you're talking, what, 100,000 a day type plant? Yep.
Right. So have you noticed the impact of the opening of that plant in the cash market?
Sure. I think neighboring grain facilities, elevators, other crush plants, aware of it. I think we were just in a competitive environment this year to, protect turf, if you will. As you get a new player in the neighborhood, everybody wants to, kind of settle into how things are going to be. But it may be hard to analyze that too, just because our soybean production in the eastern third of Nebraska was just so much different, than it was last year or the year prior. I mean, we just had two tough crops, you know, the last 2 years.
Right.
So it was really nice to have a good crop this year as we do experience crush expansion in Nebraska. We've got another facility coming online next fall, 2025. That facility's recently started to post to arrive soybean bids, you know, for harvest of 25. So it's going to happen again next year as we see crush expansion continue to ramp up. I think the other thing, you know, that we're watching and hearing from our producers is just what's the farmer mentality around that? Are they going to change, you know, how they operate? I think we're starting to see some producers put more soybeans on farm. I think you'll see a little bit of that happen as we go forward with a portion, you know, of their soybean crop.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Let's talk about the balance sheets, corn and soybeans. We got what we got from USDA in the November update. When you look at either corn or soybeans, do you anticipate many changes going forward?
I do. In the November report, I really expected that we would start to see USDA acknowledge a strong start to the export year for the United States. We saw a pretty active period of export sales. Shipments are running ahead of pace as well. So really feel like the corn number on the balance sheet has room to grow. And I think they'll acknowledge that in time as we go forward. The cash markets are telling you that. If we look at the way that the spreads have behaved, you know, we were out to 18 cents for quite a while between decent March futures, and that's come into 10, you know, here today. And so that's a sign that demand is really robust relative to supply. And that's in the midst of a massive crop out east, you know. So, I mean, I think that's pretty telling. That demand in corn is just really quite good. And that's exactly what we want to hear, you know, with the size of the crop that we grew this year. So I do expect corn exports to grow over time. I think they're in a position to probably do that in the December report to some degree. And okay. I do think ethanol is running a bit ahead of pace as well. So we might see some tweaks higher in that over time as well.
Are margins pretty good on ethanol in eastern Nebraska?
They're not great. We're above break even today in terms of net returns, but it's pretty marginal. I think as you get into northwest Iowa, that gets worse. As far as the markets that we serve, that's a very competitive area. You're dealing with a lot of demand in northwest Iowa, and then you had crop production issues really along the northwest Iowa, southwest Minnesota border. So we're a little bit deficit up there in terms of corn production, and I think your ethanol margin environment is definitely worse in that part of the world.
All right. So take it to the bottom line. How much of an impact can we see on corn carryover?
Well, I believe we can cut 150 million bushels off of our carryout, you know, if we keep the production number the same. So we can really get, you know, the number under 1.8. I think, you know, a number at 1.75 is certainly conceivable. So generally speaking, I think you have to like where corn is priced today, and certainly possible to see front month corn, I think, get to 450. I think the challenge for us is just we've got to bring soybeans along for the ride because they are, I think, actively working against corn. Just a very different story there, and I think it sets us up for, you know, more corn acres next spring and fewer soybeans.
In a significant way on those acreage changes?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you're talking maybe a couple million one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we go back to the trade war type transition where it was a 10 million acre haircut, you know, from beans in the upper 80s to the upper 70s. I don't think we see that.
Right. Okay. The bottom line on soybeans for the current marketing year, not the 25-26, but the 24-25, where do you see that carryover headed there?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, constructive to see things improve last month just with the, you know, the production cut. It's going to have to come from a production revision. You know, I think if we see that continue to improve, I'm just not optimistic that we really see demand change in the soybeans. You could argue that crush, you know, being cut 15 million bushels in the November revision was probably premature. So I'm curious to watch that one. I'm really curious to see, you know, we've got so many potential changes coming with the new administration around policy and green energy. But I have to think that the UCO imports into the U.S. are probably going to get squashed at some point. I just don't think a Trump administration would look favorably upon that. So that can maybe help the crush environment, and maybe we see that number grow. But from an export standpoint, really just not optimistic that we see that grow this year.
Okay. All right. It sounds to me, you said it on corn, that front month contract, I would assume you're thinking maybe the March contract could get up into that 450 range. But with the amount of corn that still has to move out there, the farmer selling is going to be there and waiting for it, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think velocity in terms of how quickly we get to those price levels is always part of that story, though. Producers, you know, maybe we'll sell it initially, but our friendly producer tends to get pretty bullish pretty quick as prices advance. So they'll sell it in chunks depending on how quickly we get there. But certainly, a lot of unpriced grain in inventory by the producer. And the interesting thing to watch is you have to have a buyer on the other side of that. We know consumptive demand is pretty good. But the interesting one is to watch managed money. You know, and that's been the transition from August until today, where we've seen, you know, the managed money crowd go net long, you know, over 100,000 contracts as of last Friday's commitment of traders report. So what's going on with that? You know, I think that's the question to ask. This is the longest they've been shipped since February of 2023. And I think that time in February was kind of when we saw the broader marketplace maybe get out of the inflation hedge game, where they were owning commodities and kind of transitioning out of that story and maybe rotating money back into equities with more velocity. So are we changing that thought process again as we introduce a new administration? A lot of different geopolitical things that could happen. You know, are we going to see an inflationary environment round two come back if we cut taxes and kind of stimulate the economy again? So I think that's one we need to watch and potentially could be friendly to, you know, our space.
Okay. All right. Luke, when you started talking about the managed money, I threw a Deese corn chart up on my screen so that I could look at this return to the spring highs or something like that. They did a lot of buying, and we didn't see a whole lot of price action there at all.
Absolutely. I'm glad you went there. We you have to look at the commercial position, you know, against this. And I think, you know, if you go back to the way the commercial position looked all through summer, you know, the producer was in retention mode a lot of last calendar year as we got into spring and summer. Not surprisingly, we were coming off of high prices. Producers were flush with cash. They were in a position to keep grain off the market and wait for higher prices. That has been the difference, though. The producer moved the 23 crop late last summer, and we've seen a pretty methodical transition of ownership from farmer to on down the supply chain throughout this harvest. And so the commercial position, you know, really the largest short that we've seen since that same time period, February of 2023. So the producer, I feel, mentally has kind of settled back into this price environment is what that tells me. So as we settle into this new range, if we see managed money continue to trim their short and continue to add longs to the marketplace, you know, how high can we get? And the question is just, how fast of a seller will the producer be as they would potentially add to their long positions?
Right. Okay. Just a little over a minute left here, Luke, but I got to ask, what is the role of wheat in all of this?
Yeah, that was the news today, right? With the geopolitical tensions in the Black Sea, with the nuclear word being thrown around as the U.S. supplies to Ukraine. We've seen these Black Sea headlines for 4 years now, and it just seems like each time we escalate things in the Black Sea, the response is a little bit more muted. So to see wheat up 2 to 3 cents today is a little disappointing. With that type of headline risk. So I think the market's going to have to see something more than a headline risk to maybe get wheat excited. If we do actually have a threat in the Black Sea and commodities get excited starting with wheat, you'll see spillover strength added to the corn market for sure.
Fantastic. All right. Luke, man, great job. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great holiday, and we will we'll talk to you before the crop goes in the ground in the spring, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Fantastic. Good work by Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag out of Elgin, Nebraska, right there. Man, covered a lot of ground. What's going on in the cash market in northeast Nebraska? New crush. Got the rail situation straightened out. Moving a little bit more product out to the PNW. All good, man. Davis and I will be right back.
Want to get...
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200 to $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household, and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx users are compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Finances can be so intimidating, but since I've started using Dave, the banking app, managing my money is much easier. Dave shows me how much I have left to spend after my routine expenses. And if I'm short on cash, Dave's extra cash advances me the money I need, up to $500 in 5 minutes or less. No interest, no credit check, no late fees. Download the Dave app or go to dave.com/easy.
Dave is not a bank. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Eligibility criteria apply, subject to bank approval. Service and or instant transfer fees may apply. Advances typically approved in 5 minutes.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to pick up some hair volume right now. My reunion's next month, and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com, Walgreens, Rite Aid, or CVS.
If you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory, as always.
Yep.
Looks like the fencing project next door is ongoing.
Oh,
he's doing good,
man.
Though. He's getting it.
All right.
Yeah.
Get everything set back up. You know, you can reuse broken boards. You just need to anticipate problems later on.
And here's the thing. If the guy didn't raise any objections to the board stretcher thing, what do you suppose the chances are he's got one of those little magnets to pick up all the nails that are now in my driveway? You reckon he's got one of those?
Zero.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I've got one.
Good.
Preparing that doesn't surprise deploy.
Me. That well, that does not surprise me. A DIY guy like you?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Couple things here on I'm just going to bullet point some of these news items for you really quickly. And let's see, Chip Flory, if you can tell me how these statements are related. Are you ready? Should we try it?
Let's
try it.
Here's
your first one. December SRWD futures ran into resistance at the late October lows. Okay, that's number one. December corn futures spiked resistance at 4:30, then fell back to close near session lows. Not to be outdone, January beans opened near session highs and, you guessed it, spiked resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to close low range. I like reporting about resistance being challenged more than I like reporting about support being challenged. Chip, are we all three of these markets? This is from the corn, the beans, and the wheat. Little moves at least towards resistance. At least they're seeing resistance. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Falling back
sure,
but we've, you know, there's a, it does seem like an effort was made today.
Sometimes you got to knock on a door twice for somebody to come and answer it. You know, That's the way I've always looked at these markets, especially in an environment like we're in right now. We're moving up away from some of those lows that we've posted here recently. The first try at some overhead resistance, let's give it a shot. If it doesn't work, okay, well, the funds are already long. Maybe they're just going to take a little bit of profit out here out of the first spike of 430. Beyond that, let's see what they want to do with it.
It's interesting.
It is what you can do though with what we saw in the market today is if you had a price order in place to execute a cash sale when December futures got to 430, you got hit today. Now, where's your next one? Reevaluate. Where are you going to put it? you know, is it going to be, is it up just a dime? Or, as we talked about with Luke, do you be a little bit more patient in here and start thinking, well, you know what, 450 might be in play for that March contract. If that's the case, put your price order in. Put your price order in.
Okay. That's a little different, though, than sitting on the cash and waiting for another nickel. I mean, I was completely ready to sell at 245, and now we're at 245 and a quarter. I think I can get 250, or, you know, I don't know.
No, you're right.
That seems a little scary to me.
Yeah, you can go broke, you know, waiting for $11 beans
yes.
when they get to $10.99 and you don't sell.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to make some adjustments in here, too. But the thing is, the reason that I'm such a proponent of the price orders is because a lot of times when you get into a market like this where the funds are being a little bit more active, especially on the buy side, you can get mm-hmm. a spike in the overnight trade that you might be there and gone before you know it. But if you've got your price order in place, you'll be there to take advantage of it.
When we talk about the Russia-Ukraine thing, and I think Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag was spot on here, it seems like every piece of news is just a little bit more blunted coming out of that Black Sea conflict over there. I've got this from this morning's news. I didn't get to it, where Ukraine reportedly carried out a first strike on a border region in Russia using Western-supplied missiles. Yeah. Meanwhile, President Vladimir Putin signed a decree allowing Russia to fire nuclear weapons in response to a massive conventional attack. And, Chip, I don't know if you saw this too, but I saw Mr. Putin saying, yeah, it's not only who fires the weapons, but if others are supplying these weapons, now they're on the playground as well here. And the wheat market thinks that's good for 2-3 cents.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you know, like Luke said, though, we've been dealing with this for 4 years.
Right.
If it was 4 years ago, today would have been a 70-cent move in wheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this headline, the headlines that we got today were very similar that caused, you know, to headlines that caused 40, 50, 70-cent moves
right.
4 years ago. Just become numb to the updates that we are getting, even though these updates, in my opinion, Davis, are scarier every day.
Well, that's the thing. Where is the fear premium?
I don't know.
That has completely drained out what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a fear premium that's in here in this wheat complex at, call it, $5.50 to $6 You know, a fear premium probably gets a little bit more than that, and yet we still get these little responses, you know, without really building any premium into the futures. Interesting.
Right. Right. I don't have a good answer for you on this. It just feels like it may be building. But the question that you just asked me is why I've been asking the question, what is wheat's role in the grain markets right now? I've been asking that of almost everybody for the past 3 weeks. I've been anticipating that at some point we're going to see one of those 40, 50 cent moves in wheat because of geopolitical tensions in the Black Sea.
What does it take? What does it take?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook, November 25th through the 29th. Below normal temperatures, Minnesota, western Iowa, northwest Kansas, and points to the west and north of that. A band of near normal down through Wisconsin, eastern Illinois, eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, and then above normal temperatures in the eastern belt. We got above normal precip across the Corn Belt. Farmer Forum tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously.